4:30 here on Irirangi Wātea. Ono Raumātore te Iarere. Thanks very much for joining me. And thanks very much to Dale Stevens, who joined us earlier in the program. Of course, the big talk in political Tinseltown is the Labour National Party leadership and how much Labour is enjoying watching the spectacle, I guess. National Party leadership, Judith Collins gone, Simon Bridges, well, gone as the leader, Simon Bridges back in the backbenches. Dr. Shane Reti, our wonderful rangatira from Ngāti White, Ngāti Hene, he's got the job of holding the reins until caucus meets next Tuesday. Here to talk to us about what's going to happen in that caucus meeting, because somebody who should know, because he's an insider, political commentator Ben Thomas joins us now. Me tuku mihi kia koe, Ben Thomas. Thank you so very much for joining us this afternoon. Irirangi Wātea.
Kia ora, Claudette.
Okay, so if anyone's going to know, it's going to be you, Ben Thomas. How do you think the caucus will be voting next Tuesday?
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone really knows at this stage, because while a lot of people have been thinking about the post-Judith Collins future, I don't think many of them expected that it would be today. Judith Collins very much chose the timing of her own departure by launching that attack on Simon Bridges last night, purporting to demote him, making allegations based on historical comments, and that, you know, I think she finally lost the trust of her caucus. She precipitated that caucus vote, and so now, you know, people who have been sort of thinking about it in the abstract, like Christopher Luxon, maybe Mark Mitchell, will be joining Simon Bridges, who was probably a little further advanced in his planning, as contenders.
Look, interesting timing around this, I guess, from a wahine perspective, given it's, you know, white ribbon coming up and violence against women, sexual harassment, all that kind of corridor and talk at the moment. And this is an allegation of a sexual misconduct or comments made by Simon to wahine MP Jackie Dean. Are we going to hear more about those allegations?
Well, the allegations now seem to have been pretty well canvassed. Simon Bridges described it as he was recounting an old wives' tale. Basically, he was talking about it, you know, certain, I guess, myths around the way that you could tilt the balance if you were trying to conceive a daughter as opposed to a son with your partner, and probably, you know, certainly not appropriate chit-chat. You'd say that, you know, certainly you wouldn't blame Jackie Dean for finding that offensive. At the time, it was dealt with by Bill English. There was a complaint made, and Simon Bridges apologised to Jackie Dean. So I think most people would think that's, you know, off-colour, vulgar, crass, yes, but that maybe the response was probably proportionate, and that Judith Collins sort of flagging, talking about intimidation or harassment, really seems to be a different order of magnitude to what was actually sort of at issue. And particularly reviving this issue after, say, 5 years. So I think it's unavoidable to sort of conclude that Judith Collins was perhaps not acting as a protector of women in caucus or in Parliament there, because, you know, I mean, as you know from your time in Parliament, Claudette, you know, there certainly is harassment in Parliament, there certainly is bullying. These are issues that it has to confront as an institution. And I think that for Judith Collins to sort of weaponize that understanding and try and apply it to, you know, what really was, you know, a lesser kind of scale offence, probably left a bad taste in her MPs' mouths.
And so will there be any other people throwing their names into the hat, do you think, apart from Mark Mitchell, Christopher Luxon? I mean, these are the names that have been bandied about. They haven't been made official yet, not that I know of. Is there anybody else that would be likely to throw their name in?
Dr. Shane Reddetti, of course, is the acting leader, at least until next week. Now, he's mused out loud about being National Party leader in the past when he's been asked about it. In a way, you might always say that's a bit disqualifying because he's not a natural politician. You know, he's a man of great integrity, you know, great learning and sort of skills. Whether he's got, you know, what you might think of as the political nous to get the support for that job might be more of a question. Probably if you look at a lot of National's best performers in this term of opposition, you'd think about people like Christopher Bishop, Erica Stanford, Nicola Willis, people from that sort of National sort of liberal wing. And the problem is the liberal wing is only those three. So even though they're very good performers and though they do represent an important constituency for the National Party, they don't have the backing probably of their fellow MPs, certainly for leadership, although you probably wouldn't be surprised to see either Nicola Willis or Erica Stanford pop up as a deputy to Luxon or Bridges.
Yes, it is about the numbers. And the caucus will be thinking, particularly the List MPs, I would think, would be thinking about their positions. Given the latest polling, some of them are very much, you know, on the outer. They will be thinking about who can best get them the numbers and all the votes in to allow them to keep their jobs. That's how they would be thinking this time, as opposed to the long-term future of the National Party.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think today and yesterday, maybe their thinking was even more short term, which is, can I bear to turn up to work with this under the sort of reign of terror that Judith Collins is ruling by? You know, the phrase ruling by fear has been brought up a number of times today. And so I think in part, a lot of MPs will just be feeling a sort of sense of relief. At the same time, yeah, you're right, absolutely. National has really been treading water since the election. They will be thinking about, you know, who can connect with the public the best, especially because they've got a bit of a sniff now. Even though their polling has been static, the Labor government and Jacinda Ardern's polling has really taken a hit as the COVID response has gotten messier. And so, you know, Christopher Luxon, for instance, has suggested to people that he would want to wait till the second term to try for the leadership. But that was probably on the assumption that National was definitely going to lose in 2023. Now they might be thinking, well, if we can pull it together, you know, maybe we have a shot. And it makes the leadership a lot more attractive to somebody like Luxon and also to Bridges, who, you know, probably reasonably fairly thinks that he should have been given the chance in 2020 to go to the election.
Okay, so, you know, all these names that are coming forward, apart from Dr. Shane Reddetti, really have nothing to do with Māori in the sense that none of them have, even Mr. Luxton, even though he's the shadow portfolio, whatever it is, with treaty settlements, done very little for Māori, no presence amongst Māori. We don't even know who they are. They don't even know who we are. So why should we care about who the next... Well, we should. And this is why we should, Māori should care who the next leader is. Because right now, none of them know that we exist.
Yeah, that's a totally valid point, and I think that really speaks to, and that's a problem not just with the current leadership contender crop, it's a problem with the National Party caucus, and it's a problem with the strategy that they went into in the last election. They had some very good Māori candidates, but you know, Tania Tapsell is an obvious one. She was standing in Bay of Plenty, East Coast, and they weren't given winnable positions. I don't think anyone expected National to take the bath that it did in the polls last year. But you're right. There was a real lack of strategic thinking there. And, you know, National, you know, in terms of Māori and Māori issues, you know, however broadly defined, National really has to raise its game because they did go down a very unfortunate path. I think that was probably the beginning of the end for Collins, you know, aside from losing the election, was, you know, going off into that strange Hepuapua conspiracy theory stuff really flirting with race baiting in that kind of Don Brash mould. That sort of showed that she was probably an unsuitable leader. And that's something the National will have to look really carefully at. But, you know, they are constrained because they don't have the MPs right now. And they will have to look outside the party to get a bit of that experience and background.
And with that, though, that this is why National, this is probably why Judith did what she did, because she could see, because we could all see the hemorrhaging of support to the ACT Party. So they really are not going to be focused on Māori or appealing to Māori because the votes are so low there. They'll be looking at that far right vote, that right vote and that far right vote, the ones that they lost to ACT, would they not?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because, I think that's right. The Māori Party of today is very different from the Māori Party that went essentially went into coalition with Jonki and National. I don't see Rauru Waititi or Debbie Ngāre Wepaka, cuddling up to National at any point in the future. And so it makes sense for National to go for the middle. Not to try and contest that kind of, you know, really right-wing sort of anti-Māori, anti-treaty vote, because ACT has got that sewn up. You know, if they're going to make a National ACT government and get rid of Labor, they need to be commanding, and National need to be commanding that middle space, so the 50th and the 51st percentile of the vote. They can only do that by appealing to centrist voters. And so they actually need to pivot away from that dangerous territory and become a more mainstream party again.
And so finally, Ben, do you think in your mind that in terms of longevity for the National Party, past this election, next election, and maybe the election after that, that the leader that will take them into the future is yet to appear in the caucus?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, you'll remember from your time as an MP how much angst and tears and sweat Labor wasted thinking that they were going to find the next John Key from within their ranks. They didn't have another John Key. What it turned out is that they had a Jacinda Ardern who they were ignoring all that time. Now, National don't have a Jacinda, they don't have a John Key unless Christopher Luxon shows a bit more than he has previously. And you can't get hung up on that. You know, you've got to just keep on doing the work of opposition, minimising mistakes, probing the government. And that's the only way forward. You know, there's no school to go to learn how to be John Key or Jacinda Ardern.
Thank you so very much for joining us this afternoon, Ben Thomas. Always wonderful to cordial with you.